So, Dan,
buy our shirts.
Yes, buy our shirts. Where can you go to buy our shirts, Dan?
Defocus.co/shirt. We have shirts for sale. The Defocus shirt from last year is back in the store. You got the gray one. You got the blue one. There's a black cottony one. You got a hoodie. The hoodie is very comfortable. I have all of these shirts.
Yes, yes. You can get those shirts, too, for a limited time.
December. Well, there's 11 days, 22 hours, 49 minutes, and 9 seconds at the time of this recording.
That's not going to help anyone.
Probably. There's 11 days left.
There's going to be just a few days by the time this podcast is released. So, people, run. Don't walk to your nearest web browser.
Walk, but be careful. Don't run with scissors.
Fire up your Netscape Navigator.
Use AOL keyword, defocused shirt.
Defocus.co/shirt. Right?
No, singular.
Oh, shirt. Defocus.co/shirt. Get your shirt.
And podcast.
Ta-da. This is how magic happens. Hello.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
Much better, I think. Almost entirely normal. I think.
You think?
I don't know what normal feels like anymore, but I feel pretty okay. I'm no longer taking cold medication, so that's a positive.
Yes, it is.
Although I just listened back to the last episode, and I think I was more coherent and interesting in that episode than any other episode ever. So maybe I should just be really sick all the time.
No, I think you're just surprised by how well it came out. In spite of that, don't be ill again.
No, it was good. I had things to say that I thought were potentially useful. So I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's just I didn't get all hyped up or in my head about stuff or like try to plan something out because I literally couldn't because I was just sitting there as a blob of sickly human.
I don't know. You maybe could try a different thing though. And that would be like rest and
rest is good. I can do that now. Now that I'm home again.
Yes. Well. Have you ever really rested?
You mean since I got sick?
No, I mean, like, if you ever showed up to this podcast and you're like, oh, wow, I feel great.
Oh, well, we record so late that, I mean, even if I was rested earlier in the day, chances are by now I'll feel some effects of fatigue from the day's worth of, I don't know, work or whatever, or I ate too much food or something.
Okay.
I had some pizza and hot wings earlier, but I didn't overindulge, so maybe that's why I feel okay.
Oh, okay. How spicy were the hot wings?
Not spicy. I got half regular hot, which is not hot. It's just like buffalo, and then the other half were honey hot.
Honey hot?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean it's just the same mix, they just add honey to it?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like a molassesy kind of sticky deliciousness thing with just a little bit of twang to it. It's
twang.
Twang. it's good. It's not spicy.
Okay. I as we've discussed in the past, I don't like wings. to clarify, did you have wings or did you have adult chicken nuggets?
I made the conscious decision to go the tough route and get the ones with the bones in them.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I frequently get boneless wings from this particular place, but in this instance, I went back and went old school. I got bone in, as they say. But now, for some reason, this particular place is doing them in multiples of fives, which makes no sense to me. It should be multiples of six.
You know, they're so easy to share, that fifth one.
No, hot wings should be dozen. If you want to go half dozen, sure, or you want to split your dozen, something. But like, they should be dozen. They shouldn't be orders of 5, 10, 15. That's stupid. That is not a unit of measurement of the chicken wing.
No, everything should come in twos, I think, because your chicken should hopefully have two wings. The people that you might be with might be in multiples of two in some regard. So I find would be the more appropriate way to go.
Sure. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Well... Speaking of food.
Yeah, what did you eat today?
Well, I had leftover Indian food from last night, so it's not that exciting. But
sounds horrible.
I was going to say I dined with you this weekend.
Yeah, we did. We saw each other in person.
Mm-hmm.
And
this doesn't happen a lot.
We hung out. No, it's happened what, 3 times ever?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, like 2.5 really, because the wedding doesn't count because I was preoccupied.
Well, I mean, I'll never forget at your wedding when you came over to my table to shout that you were playing Pitbull just for me at your wedding.
It was approved for the playlist specifically because you were going to be there. I mean, yeah, I enjoy that particular song as well, but yeah, I was walking back from the bar,
yeah,
holding a beverage. I don't think that was for me. And the song came on, so I shouted and pointed at you. Oh, uh-huh. I probably pointed at you. That's probably why you didn't go dance, because I pointed at you, isn't it?
No, I generally don't dance. But as we had discussed in the prior episode, I had a wedding to attend Friday, and you had a different wedding to attend on Sunday. And we attended those things, but Saturday, the day in between, the day that you had reserved for getting together in some way... We managed to get together in spite of your plans to sabotage everything.
I had no plans to sabotage. I also had no plans to aid either. So it just sort of worked out.
It was. I could not think of someone trying harder to make something not work.
I could have tried really hard to make it not work. I shared my location with you.
Yeah, but you were in Burbank. But you were going to drive to West Adams to pick up our mutual associate, Rye, and then we were going to drive from West Adams to downtown. And then we were going to go to the market so you could have an egg sandwich. Then you were going to go from there back to Burbank to take a shower and get mm-hmm. ready for the day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, it only became 4 o'clock later. I mean... These plans began at like 11:30, and then it just it was 4 by the time we were downtown. So it's, you know, Los Angeles traffic, you know, what the thing everyone loves to talk about. But, you know, it just it was casual because we didn't feel like being super rigid. But, you know, we wanted to go downtown, and Rye was going to join us, and he said he was going to take the train, and I let him know what our ETA was, and he's like, okay, it'll probably take me a little longer to get down there, so go ahead and just eat your sandwiches without me, and I'll get there on my own. I'm like, well, no, that's not fun, so we'll just come get you. That's stupid. Like, that way we at least know that we can eat at the same time if we just pick you up. So it was that, and then you were shoe shopping or something in Burbank, and it's like, oh, you're 10 minutes away. Might as well, you got to drive this direction anyway, so... We'll stay at this coffee shop for an extra 5-10 minutes until you can get here, and then say hello, and then we'll drive together.
It was a fun car ride, and I always enjoy hanging out with Amanda, which I've only done really this last time. Yeah,
like once-ish.
But I like the notion, the idea of Amanda, who feels like she's a constant presence on this podcast, in spite of the fact that she doesn't listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you have enough context to sort of round out the conversation. You mm-hmm. understand her better now that you got to spend, what, like a cumulative hour or so in a car
and
with her.
We had good egg sandwiches from the establishment known as Egg Slut in the Grand Central Market. Mm-hmm. I'd never been before because they have crazy lines, but the good thing about showing up at 3:45 in the afternoon is that not as many people are getting breakfast sandwiches at that time.
We got there at 3:15, to clarify. They close at 4. And there was no line. It was great. There was no line, although it was a very busy marketplace thing. So we struggled to find tables, but as soon as one popped up, lunch coordinator Rye was right on it. He found us some extra chairs, got it all settled.
He should be in charge of organizing things. We went to the Bradbury mm-hmm. building, a recommendation of Rye, and we looked up at the Blade Runner-iness of the interior little lounge. It's where J.F. Sebastian lives in Blade Runner, the original film. So that's neat. It was fun. Got to snap some pics. And then,
did you know downtown Los Angeles was was a very fancy, very busy place in the 1920s? According to our
Rye took us on a 15-20 minute tour of Broadway.
We went to the Ace Hotel rooftop bar, which I don't know. He knew where it was. I didn't know where it was. So we just kept walking for a while. We made it back to the car much more quickly than it felt like we made it to the bar. Yeah. But that was fine. We saw Austin. We saw Austin Powell Llama Browntown. He came there and met us with his leg brace on.
And we had some bevs. And we had to depart, but it was a beautiful sunset to witness from the rooftops area there. So,
yeah. Although this being the second day I was in Los Angeles, having purchased many things, food, beverage, hotel related, this was the day my bank decided to freak out and think that my card was stolen.
Well,
so
it was
a
surprise
fun.
You were out of your house.
they sent me like 4 text messages in a row in all caps saying, please confirm that you made these attempted purchases. It's like, yes, I did. And then, of course, it continued to be frozen for like another hour and a half. So it was like trying to get out of the parking deck with my credit card. And it's like, can't read card. I'm like, this is fabulous. Thank you, Bank of America.
Sorry.
Started working again later, though. That was fine.
But we parted ways. I went to meet Jason because he was leaving town to go to Switzerland.
See, when you say it like that, it sounds like we spent like no time together. But you know, given that it was Los Angeles, it was
it was a pretty decent chunk of time. And you continued into the evening, and you had the spicy taco that
I had
and
the spicy
you won
taco.
The $50 bet that you wouldn't eat the spicy taco, the whole thing.
Yeah. So, Guisados, delicious tacos, I would like to say. I think that's hands down the best Mexican food I've ever had in Los Angeles, which I don't know. I haven't had that much Mexican food in Los Angeles for some reason, but that was very good. But yeah, my cousin, my fake doctor cousin who was there, he came there after you had left, but he joined us for tacos as well. And he was the one who had told me about the Torriado as well. And he's tried it a couple of times. They used to like do them as challenges every couple of weeks or whatever, him and a pal of his. So I figured if he's eating them, but you know, I should be able to do it. Even though like one time he said it was so hot that he had to go outside and sit on the curb and it was like rolling around in the street while people were pointing and laughing at him. I figured if he was able to consume this taco on more than one occasion, I would probably be able to consume it this time. But when we got there and we got in line, first of all, the restaurant was very warm, which I knew was going to be difficult to get a spicy taco in this warm room. But when we were in line, he started sowing some doubt because he's like, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to get 2 cheese quesadillas. You need to eat one first so you have something in your stomach. You need to keep the second one later to help reduce the heat after you've eaten the taco so you can keep eating something else. I'm like, what are you talking about? Why are you just telling me that I need like to prepare beverages and additional food items in order to even be able to survive this sort of thing? So I was a little concerned, he ordered one, I ordered one, Rye even ordered one, probably just out of sympathy or whatever, because he likes to dip his regular tacos into the spicy taco because it's got a really nice habanero salsa on it. So he got one too, but he didn't actually eat his. But it was good. Got that and a couple other things. You're familiar with the guisados, aren't you? You've never... Oh, my God. All of these things.
You want to know what these things have in common?
They're places other than where you live. Well, there's other guisados, aren't there? Guisado?
I'm not sure that's the correct plural, but not over out this ways. Boyle Heights and the one you went to downtown, and I think they have some other East LA locations.
I think there's one in Burbank,
well,
I was told. But,
Dan,
it's really
Burbank
good.
Burbank isn't close either.
It's adjacent maybe to where you work. You could take the long way home one day and go get some tacos.
Other side of the valley. But
yeah, I know. You just said the long way home.
But what were the other tacos you tried? Because you said it was some of the best tacos you tried, so I'm curious.
I had a chicken tinga, and I had a cochinita pibil, and they had, I think they had varying spice levels that you could choose on one of those two, and even those two had a little bit of heat. I was surprised, and I was a little concerned that I had gotten 3 spicy tacos, one of which being very spicy, but it was really good. Their quesadilla is really weird. They take this sort of, like, I don't even know what type of cheese it was. It was like this solid brick of cheese, and they just sort of, like, brown it on the flat top so it's still kind of mostly solid, and then they fold it into a like taco tortilla, so it's basically just like a cheese taco with a little bit of like some sort of cream sauce thing they put on it. It was really good. It's not like what you think of when you think of a quesadilla, but it was really tasty. So it was all very good. I ate one of those normal tacos first. Then I went after the Torriado, and then I ate the other one after that.
Yeah, I feel like the Chicken Tinga is not as well respected as it should be. Although I must say that I am one who goes for Al Pastor at any opportunity. Was there Al Pastor?
I don't recall seeing an Al Pastor, but see, I enjoy Al Pastor as well, but I am not a fan of the traditional Al Pastor in which it is combined with pineapple and a crap load of cilantro.
We have one of those things in common. I'm not a fan where it's pineapple and the raw white onion and cilantro. I like the pineapple.
Of course, yeah. You like the pineapple. No, it's and this is my personal thing, because the delicious tacos that I used to eat in San Jose all the time were Al Pastor, but they were not traditional Al Pastor tacos. They were the meat, but they were combined with your other sort of I don't know what was on them, beans, rice, something. They were sour cream, guacamole,
really
kind of thing.
At that point.
But no, it's Al Pastor meat, but yes, it's not an Al Pastor taco. Anyway. But yeah, the chicken tinga is good. I feel like it's really easy to dry that out, but they do a really good thing. They put like a little bit of like a black bean spread down on their tortillas, which are like freshly cooked, like right there in front of you. And then they put whatever on top of that. So you got this nice base layer that sort of holds everything together and keeps them from getting too messy or saucy or goopy or whatever. Unless, of course, they drown it in habanero salsa, in which case it gets very, very, very messy. And incredibly spicy. So the Torriado, in addition to being incredibly spicy, is also very, very messy, which led to an issue a little bit later in the evening. But I would like to say that the Torriado might be one of the spiciest things I've ever eaten in my entire life. It is very, very hot. And being that I was already in that hot room, I could feel it. Like, it went straight to my ears.
Wow.
It was so hot. And my ears turned bright red in addition to my face. I'm told I didn't sweat, but I was very warm. Like, I was very flushed with red ears and face. I think it took about 4 bites to do the whole thing. And, I took a little bit of a break between, but it was hot talk. It was tasty though. It was very good. Like, if it wasn't for the habanero salsa on it though, it would just be like a little tortilla of misery, because like, it's just dry chilies that are there to hurt you, but the salsa actually made it taste quite good.
Okay. Yeah, I missed your reaction to that. I would never order such a thing.
Well, you should try it sometimes, Kip.
It's not gonna happen. After that, you guys had some bevs, and then you retired for the evening, went to another wedding, and then you went around Los Angeles again before you left. And for some reason, you decided to go from Burbank to West Hollywood on your way back to Arizona. Those aren't necessarily in the same direction. So I would like to grill you on why you thought that was the place you should need to go.
You know, we have limited free time on these trips, because they're very short and very packed with things. So while we're there, we try as many new and interesting and fun things as we possibly can. And on your last day in town, really what you have the opportunity to do is get some coffee and maybe a pastry, and then get on the road. And I'm familiar with most of the coffee in like downtown. And we discovered the coffee commissary very near to where we're staying in Burbank, which was good. But we went there 2 days in a row and wanted to try something else. And Amanda had found this place that she wanted to go on the internet. And I said, sure, what's this place on the internet you want to go to? And it's on Melrose Place. And I said, sure, whatever, it's fine. We'll do that. I think the idea came up on Friday. And of course, it was a fine idea on Friday. But yeah, we drove down there. It wasn't too bad to get to the place, but then by the time we got there, you know, it was a little late. The coffee was good. There wasn't a huge line. This being the Alfred Melrose, and then it was trying to figure out, well, what are we gonna get to eat before we get on the road? And we couldn't decide because we were very tired and the coffee hadn't kicked in and our stomachs were empty and there were tons and tons of insufferable people around. So we basically just got in the car and said, screw it. I'm going to drive straight south on whatever the hell road I was on until I hit the 10 and then just head out of town, which I don't know if you've ever driven from that particular area of Melrose just straight south to the 10, but that is not a quick trip direct past the Beverly Center there. So that added to the ire. And then by the time we got to the freeway, it was a little slow. But once we got past downtown, things started to speed up and the anger subsided a little bit. And we usually stop in Moreno Valley to use the restroom, buy a bottle of water or whatever, just because there's like a giant strip mall there full of stuff. And it's usually about an hour or so out of town. So we stopped there and we gassed up and we also we went to an Olive Garden. We had had so much hipstery goodness over on Melrose that we had to counterbalance it with some very lackluster, like 1 p.m. chicken parmesan.
Dan,
mm-hmm.
Next time, I want you to just ask me and Rye and Austin where you need to go, and we will vote on your itinerary, and we will set times for you, and you will be penalized if you don't make those times.
No. See, this is a vacation. The problem is this is not a practical. This trip should not be representative of a practical human being's daily life in Los Angeles. Like that was the other thing. It was like I was trying to illustrate for my lovely wife as we were driving through this horrible gridlock past the Beverly Center on our way to the freeway. She's like, "You would deal with this on a daily basis?" I'm like, "No, you don't understand. People don't do this on a regular basis. Like, there's literally no reason to do this thing we're doing unless you are on vacation and it literally doesn't matter what time you get home. Like, please don't take this as representative of what it's like to live in the city because people don't do this. They just, they don't."
No, as we had indicated when we were talking about things I haven't done because they're too far away from me. That's not how that sort of travel planning works.
Yeah, you pick like one Saturday, maybe once a month, and you go to a place that you've never been before, and you waste a whole day going there, and you hope it was worth it because you've done enough Instagram research ahead of time, and then that's your day, and you're done.
You go get your picture taken in front of the Paul Smith pink wall, and then you put that on your Instagram, call it a day.
Yeah, see, we're trying to do things on the way to other things. And make it all sort of make some sort of sense, but then you're just exhausted and everyone's unhappy, and then you gotta go.
Uh huh.
Anyway, the coffee was good. I got a triple Gibraltar.
Sometimes known as a cortado.
Mm-hmm. Everyone in Los Angeles apparently calls it a Gibraltar. I was gonna call it a cortado until I saw everyone with their handwritten chalk menus or whatever, calling it a Gibraltar.
It depends on the location. Some places call it a cortado.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, at least Coffee Commissary and Alfred call it a Gibraltar.
Sorry.
And the fellow at Alfred didn't have any concern with my coffee with extra coffee. I said, "Give me a Gibraltar with an extra shot." And he said, "Would you like that to be a triple or a quadruple? It's the same price." And I said, "You know what? Triple's fine for me today."
I love that. For longtime listeners, they may not remember your stories about what was it called? Handlebar coffee downtown. Handsome coffee.
Handsome.
Same thing. They had Handlebar mustaches. Mm-hmm.
Purchased by Blue Bottle.
So Handsome Coffee downtown. Before it was acquired by Blue Bottle, you had attempted to order your coffee with an extra shot in it, and you got a scolding instead. You didn't get your extra coffee.
See, the fella at the Handsome basically gave me the same reply that this fella at Alfred gave me, but he gave it to me in the wrong way. The fella at Handsome said, "Well, we do doubles. Do you want a quadruple?" Or whatever the hell he said. But he because I ordered a triple something, triple espresso or something. He said, "Well, we only do doubles. So you want four. Or like, you know, you take this double and then come back and you can get another one later or something." But the fella at Alfred, being smart and knowing that I just wanted three because I said thing with an extra shot, you know, he knows that they do doubles and he's going to make four. He's only going to put three in my thing, and then he's either going to throw the fourth one away or he's going to put it in somebody else's drink shortly thereafter, which I think that other shot ended up going into Amanda's drink. But like, you know, that's the customer service. Don't give me crap. Like, I told you what I want. Give me the three shots of stuff in the thing. I don't care how you make it. Don't make me make the decision. Just put three shots in the thing. Anyway, he handled it nicely. And I had a Joe fizzy water.
Yeah, I saw you.
The
you had the Topo Chico. It was acceptable for you.
It was good. It was it tasted very fizzy and clean and good. And they have a flavored one there too.
Which one? The grapefruit?
I liked it. I don't know, it was like a lime or something, but I don't enjoy the fact that they just write mineral water on there. And you know, instead of sparkling or anything to indicate that it's sparkling, that if you didn't know that mineral water was code for sparkling, then you wouldn't know. Like, I know because I drink a lot of it, but anyway, they could use a little bit more delineation between their beverages.
Pass that note along.
Didn't they get bought by somebody bad?
The Coca-Cola company bought them. Yeah, you see, this company had existed for over 100 years, I think, bottling water, and they had the contract for making Coke in Mexico on for the Coca-Cola company. It was a franchise operation. And then the Coca-Cola company just bought them this last year, this summer. So they own them now outright, rather than them just being a franchisee. And they still make the water for now. They haven't turned it into sparkling Aquafina or anything, but I'm sorry, sparkling Dasani. You know, time will tell.
Well, that already exists. They've already got sparkling Dasani. I think it comes in like those like thin cans, like the Perrier cans, with a bunch
good.
Of
nice
flavors.
And luxurious. No, thank you. But anyway, I'm sorry you're gone, and I only got to see briefly. But I'm glad I got to see you, and I hope you come back out again some point. Bring Amanda on.
See, it started so well. The first two-ish, 3 days of the trip were very good. And then that last day was just sort of like, can't wait to get the hell out of here. So I hope when she looks back, she remembers the good day and not the bad day. Because she enjoyed seeing all of the internet nerd friends. This is the first time she was, to be honest, this is the first time I have been surrounded by the giant crowd of nerds that are in our sort of Slack thing / Twitter communication group thing, and it was fun, and she really enjoyed herself talking to all the various nerds and the nerd wives.
I'm sure that
that makes it sound like the wives are nerds. The wives are not the nerds. We are just the nerds.
I am sure that that helped temper the situation as well, because she had someone to socialize with that wasn't just full of inside jokes. So that was probably a good thing.
Yeah, the one thing that you did miss at the Mumford Brewery there is I forget what actually the conversation was, I think they were Austin unzipped his jacket to show his shirt, and then he pointed at it, and everyone was like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "Oh, that's me on the podcast." And then like three or four of the people were like, "Oh, that's you. Gotcha. Now I know who you are." but they started saying something about like how all we do is. We complain and we don't ever talk about things that we like. Or there was some other similar thing where they were all like mocking me for something I had said. And it struck me that this is the first time I had been surrounded by people who had listened to hours and hours of my voice saying things and can use it against me in public. Because that's not a thing that happens ever around here. Because, you know, the people I live with and or see in Arizona don't listen to my podcast.
You don't go to Safeway.
So,
do you know who I am, sir?
No, it's not even that. Just like friends and family around here don't have all of this horrible backlog of blackmail to use against me. I found myself completely without words, unable to defend myself, because they were all right in pointing out my idiocy.
Sorry.
No, it was fun. It was good. It was a thing I had never experienced
before. Technically,
you've experienced
it before. SIGGRAPH.
See, but the show was so new back then, I think, and people were still sort of getting a feel for who we were, that it wasn't years on, and just we hadn't permanently cemented our personalities as just grumpy curmudgeons that complain about everything.
Well, I mean, we had done the show for a year, Dan. over a year.
Mm-hmm. It didn't really, catch on.
Did it catch on? Yeah.
I don't know. People mm-hmm. potentially listen to this. Who knows? Move Ups listens to it because he's suggesting titles.
Yeah, these very narcissistic episodes, I don't know about. But
no, these are the good ones, according to Rock. No, he's not going to like this one, though.
But I like the ones where we talk about movies. We should do another movie one soon. We've done these mm-hmm. two because last week was very busy in preparation for the holiday. And this week is also very busy in preparation for the holiday. Go figure. Next week, we will try to come up with something good, and blow mm-hmm. your minds. But you know, I think if you were to add up the number of hours of podcasts that we've been putting out, I feel like there's plenty of listening material. Most people probably haven't even made it through the last three or four episodes if they're going at something of a normal pace.
Mm-hmm. We managed to stay pretty regular with this thing despite any sort of hiccups with schedule and stuff. It's miraculous that we've done 172 mm-hmm. of these.
It's a big number. But I'm looking forward to December, though, which is fast approaching.
What in particular are you looking
forward to? The holiday season.
About December.
And? Do you want to guess?
Some sort of holiday movie that's a follow-up of a previous year that we haven't talked about yet, I'm sure?
Star Wars, Dan.
Oh, right, Star Wars. That's a holiday movie.
Well, it's a gift. It's what it is.
It's real hard to avoid trailers for that these days. And they're throwing trailers left and right.
I'm unclear why they feel the need to market so aggressively. You think?
And so many different trailers. They're not even running the same trailer. They're running lots of trailers, and there's mm-hmm. different content in them. And they're leaning real hard on that. The this is not going to go the way you think line, because they're trying to sow some sort of like, ooh, it's going to be very gonna be interesting. It's gonna be different than the past. It's like, just like that line is getting old. Like by the time we've seen all these trailers, we're gonna know exactly how it goes.
I don't know. We'll just see. It's going to be exciting because it'll cement in my mind what I'm going to wind up thinking about the next trilogy of Star Wars movies that comes in 2020. They'll be having the first one. Maybe 2021, something like that. That'll be exciting.
And that's because of the Ryan Johnson thing?
Yeah, he got contracted to do the next three Star Wars movies after the already announced Episode 9, which was going to be directed by our dear friend, Colin Trevorrow. he was kindly asked to step aside because one reason or another things weren't working out.
Creative differences.
It's never happened with one of these Star Wars movies ever.
At least take care of it now when you're not four-fifths of the way through production. I thought the Ryan Johnson thing was a TV show or something. Was I reading something else when I saw Star Wars?
There is a Star Wars
thing?
TV show, but that has nothing to do with Ryan Johnson. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So he's doing 10, 11, 12. That's gonna take him through like the rest of his life.
There are worse things to do with your life, I suppose. But it depends. Maybe they'll be crappy movies. We'll find out. But
is he writing and directing them, or is he just gonna help sort of producing? Is he gonna pull a JJ and do one of them, and then like
it's unclear exactly how. What degree his involvement will be in each of them. I know that he was very heavily involved with Episode 8. But it's weird because whereas JJ wanted to do things his way, and there was some back and forth, supposedly, between himself and the people at Lucasfilm, it seems that Ryan is much more comfortable working with all of the various people who have interests in things at Lucasfilm. So
it's almost surprising how little drama has come out of the production with him, or at the very least how much better they are at keeping it under wraps in his production.
Because you look at all the other ones and you're like, So, yeah.
These are all very loud, very public disagreements with the producers and directors and things of that nature. And Rian Johnson's just been cruising.
Yeah. But looking forward to that this holiday season.
No CG. Nobody had to get a mustache painted out in his movie, as far as I'm aware.
Well, there is CG in the movie. I'm not sure what you mean, though.
Not like to fix a major blunder.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
Issue.
Well, that no, not that we know of right now. But unfortunately, you know, Carrie Fisher passed away, and they're not going to be doing a digital version of her. So I have no idea how they're wrapping up things necessarily.
I thought they had said that they shot a fair amount of her 8 and 9 material prior to her passing.
I heard that as well, but I still don't know what that means in terms of what materializes on the screens and stuff. But we'll see. That's exciting, but I also want to do some Christmassy stuff again because I like the Christmassy stuff. And we'll have to figure out some holiday classics to haul out.
We're gonna have to start watching some of the old animation or something. Like what else is there that we need to watch?
I'm sure we'll think of something.
Are you gonna make me watch Christmas Story? I don't like Christmas Story.
No, I don't really. I've never seen all of Christmas Story, even though it's like literally been on a loop in the background because my aunt liked it. But I have no interest in Christmas Story. We'll probably try to find something else. But regardless of that, you had referenced, of course, the mustache removal of Henry Cavill. Spoiler alert for the movie that spoils that he's back in the movie. Superman comes back in the Justice League movie, which is present in all the marketing materials and promotional tie-in products, including a razor blade that is pretty funny.
By the way, all those billboards around the Warner Brothers lot for Justice League, they're very, very poorly designed. The whole you can't save the world alone by taking like one of the superheroes' logos and like making it one of the letters and one of those words. It's a very, very ugly,
billboard. And they've been using that same thing everywhere around town here. I'm assuming nationwide in some places.
I don't think I'd seen that particular phrase used anywhere.
It's
I was there.
It's so hideous. It really looks like bad Tumblr fan art. But they are not making what they thought they were going to make. They didn't break 100 million. Supposedly the projected thing would be 110 million. But I think they settled somewhere around like 94 or something like that. 94 million. So that's just not a lot of money, really. That's basically one small movie of difference between the 2 points.
I still never saw anything that gave me any reason why I should go
see
that. No, me
either. And all the reviews, the most glowing of the reviews were it was watchable. So that's not ringing any bells for me, really.
Do you think it's anything more than, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of dumbness to it, but I feel like this whole get a gang of people together to save the world from destruction, it was passé like 3 years ago when Marvel was still doing it and we were bored with it. Now it's like really, really boring now that DC's finally got around to it.
Well, I don't think anyone's learning any lessons right now because all of the next several superhero movies that are going to be coming out over the next few years are going to have these big team things in them. So, yeah.
It's just like saving the world from destruction from some brand new alien force is not like we don't need to see that anymore. We saw Avengers 1 and then we're good.
I guess. I mean, you could. Well, it's just that you could do it if you were telling an interesting story. It just seems that Snyder and cohorts, including Joss Whedon, who was director of Avengers and Age of Ultron. They could not pull off the feat of making anyone really seem to care about these characters assembled in Justice League.
Yeah. See, we're talking about it now, and I'm already, like, losing interest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this is according to the reviews. I haven't seen it myself. But my opinion of Man of Steel did not veer into a positive territory in comparison to the reviews. I'm pretty confident that I'm not going to be like, oh wow, the critics were wrong. This is not a situation where I'm looking forward to that.
What would you say is Zack Snyder's best movie?
I'm a little biased, but I like Watchmen a lot. I don't know if it's his best, but I like it. There's, of course, 300, which is probably the fan favorite, I would say. Definitely the one that I think most people are like, yay!
What would be the third, you think?
That gets a little tricky because I'm not sure anybody really loves anything that gets down into the third ranking category, because you have a... that horrible thing where they were fighting inside of an asylum with the ladies. Remember that? Yes.
Sucker Punch.
No, me neither.
Never saw it.
And then you had the Man of Steel, and you've got the Dawn of Justice, Batman versus Superman. And I'm trying to think of what else he's done.
Dawn of the Dead. That was one of his early ones.
Okay, so that
people
one's number
like
three.
That.
I put that one as number three.
Yeah. See, I feel like in his recent films, he's got this sort of like pattern of creating these movies that are sort of like, I don't know, like 15 different vignettes, like little different scenes or reels of stuff that are full of material that are kind of like related, but they don't like weave a story particularly well. Like they're all sort of, we'll watch a 15 minute vignette, and then we'll watch another one over here, and then we'll watch another one over there, and there's like things that are mixed, but they don't really create a cohesive story that like holds a through line or a thought process or an emotion all the way through.
That would be one of the main criticisms I've seen of Dawn of Justice. Justice League.
No, I would say Dawn of Justice fits perfectly too, because it's
all over
the place. But
I meant the recent reviews specifically about that movie had referenced that. I think he benefited on Watchmen because what he had to draw from was kind of set in a way.
We'll see in that instance, then he's the right choice for it because it is sort of vignette-y in the way it was created. So he's a good fit for it. But like when you try and put him into something that doesn't necessarily need to be told that way, and he does it that way, it's weird.
Also, he just does not seem to understand characters at all.
You know, it's sad when your mom's named Martha or something.
Yeah. Enough of that.
Yeah. See, your Instagram feed's going to be full of Justice League ads this week.
So last week when I was telling you needed cold medicine, and I said that you needed to get Sudafed.
Yeah, I listened back. You said the word Sudafed, I think, four or five times over the course of
maybe 10, 15
minutes.
I said Sudafed so much. And then I opened up Instagram like an hour later, and I had...
I thought it was the next day.
It might have been the next morning, yeah. I had opened up Instagram, and the first ad sponsored post that it served up was for Sudafed. And I passed that on to you. And
you said, yeah, did I get
and
hacked?
You made me listen to an episode of Reply All, where PJ and Alex. They did a deep dive because people think that Facebook and Instagram are listening to them, and they were trying to disprove it, but they were having a hard time convincing people, and they had a call-in part of the show where people were calling in to say that what they thought, and Alex was trying to persuade them that they were not being listened to, but he was unsuccessful, and I feel like he was also unsuccessful with me.
So you're persuaded that Instagram was listening to you through your microphone on your phone, and it used that to serve up a Sudafed ad because you didn't type the word Sudafed into the internet at any point, nor did it make it into the show notes because the show notes for that bootleg said Dan has a cold, but it didn't say anything about Sudafed.
The only way Sudafed would enter into any of this is either random circumstance of that ad being served to me, or that I was overheard saying it, because there's no other method by which that would happen. Except if you, I think Alex had guessed, he had no evidence of this, but guessed that if you know someone who searches for something in your social graph and then they know that about you, they might serve you an ad for that thing so that you talk to that person about it. So technically, you could have gotten off the line with me and looked for Sudafed, and then I would have been...
Maybe Instagram knew that I was going to go take a trip to Los Angeles soon, and it knew that we were going to be very near each other, and it figured that you should suggest that I take some medication so I don't get you sick.
And
that is not the case. I never typed anything into the internet because I know what cold medication I need
to
take.
That's why I'm saying that one was a stretch, but it's the only other thing that could possibly be it if it wasn't audio, because there's nothing else. So that's a comforting thought. Is just how else did that thing get there?
Well, keep an eye on your Instagram ads for the next day or so.
Maybe
if there's any Justice League or tacos or anything in there, like an antacid.
Well, League is pretty much guaranteed because they're still going to try to pump people into the theaters before that thing gets out of there. But it has to be something really unusual, I don't know, aquariums or beta fish.
Let's talk about aquariums.
Let's just wrap about aquariums. What's your favorite thing about aquariums, Dan?
We have I think it's maybe just the westernmost largest aquarium in the United States. Might be for the entire United States. They built it in Scottsdale. I think it's got some orcas. Maybe a whale of some sort. Is it orcas or orca? Is the plural of orca is orca?
Sure. I don't know that one.
Okay.
An orca is a whale, though.
Yeah, well,
specify. You said orcas and maybe a whale, so...
Yeah, no, I think, when I say whale, I mean the big gray one. You say orca, you're talking about, everyone gets all up in arms about orca. They're the Shamu one, everyone's very excited. You can't say, like, hey, everybody, let's go to the aquarium because they've got a whale, and you get there and it's an orca, because that's... You say, hey, everybody, let's go see the orca.
Do you know what they're probably more specific. Famously referred to as? Nope.
Shamu?
Take another guess. Yes.
Killer whale?
Do you know what's in the name?
Yeah, but again, that's specificity.
It's like, a whale, but it's not whaley enough for you. It doesn't look like what you think of as a whale.
If they don't have one of like the A-list whales that has a special fancy name, like unless it's like a blue whale or a killer whale, like they're not going to call it by its specific name. They're just going to say it's a whale, and then you'd be like, oh, what kind? And then if you care, but most people aren't going to care. They're only going to care.
I think you're projecting on a lot of people right now about how much they care about whales.
Probably, but. I hear conversations and people like to point out certain types of whales, and other types of whales, they just call them whales.
Humpbacks?
It's like saying, no, I don't have a car, I have a Jaguar or something. Like, people get very interested in, like, the upper echelon of the things.
But what is the ranking of that?
I don't know. Fancy,
okay,
expensive ones?
You're saying
ones?
That they only care about the fancy, expensive ones, but you can't cite what one is.
I'm saying that orca are jaguars.
The jaguars of the sea.
Orcas are the jaguars of the sea.
Yeah. I missed that. That's, I missed that, right, can that in the tuna aisle. But
Is that enough? Is that enough aquarium talk for our Instagram?
Yeah, hopefully we'll get something aquarium related, or at least Star Trek 4.
Right. I don't think Instagram's going to serve you up an ad about Star
Trek
4.
You're saying it's not in theaters? It's not relevant to the time we live in.
I don't think it's a very timely reference to advertise.
You know, it could be a holiday special trying to sell some DVDs.
Right. Thanksgiving special. They go back in time to save the turkeys.
That'd be weird.
Would it be weirder than going back in time to save
whales? Whales are whales. Yeah. So they're important.
People. I'm glad you picked that up. Anyway. goodness. What else? What else do we have to talk about?
I think that's it. We could probably just call it an early ep.
Mm. 48 minutes? Sheesh. Shortchanging the audience. I apologize.
No, I don't apologize. We got to save the good stuff. We want you guys to be here when we lay out a banquet of amazing insights about the film industry. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm not sure. Maybe we'll get to it one of these days. But better to save your appetites till then, listeners. But the thing that we probably could talk about, but we're not going to because we're going to keep this short, is we could talk about John Lasseter. But let's not do that. Let's not do any of that.
Everyone is terrible. Why is everyone terrible, Joe? Is it just you get too much money, too much power, and then you turn into a terrible person?
Or you're a terrible person, but because you're a successful, terrible person, nobody can stop you. And then you just get protected by a system that's deeply invested in the hits and insights that you're delivering.
Mm. Or yeah. you just end up needing to take a leave of absence for a while until all of this blows over, which thankfully at the moment it's not blowing over, because every couple of weeks there's a new thing to set it on fire again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the guy makes children's movies, so it's probably not that big of a deal that he sticks his hand on his coworkers and subordinates' legs and hugs them and kisses them on the mouth at work. But
he likes his wine, apparently.
Yeah, and drinking vodka straight from the bottle. But so anyway,
I've done that when I was 15 years old. Sorry, when I was 21 years old.
Uh-huh.
No, not even 21. At that point, I knew better.
Yeah. So, anywho, we can probably end on that happy note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.